For nearly 40 years, chemically amplified resists, or CARs, dominated the semiconductor industry. But technological changes present opportunities for major industrial shifts, and the introduction of EUV is perhaps the biggest technological change in the past 10 years. EUV's rise has opened the door to a perhaps revolutionary new photoresist, and two very interesting new players supporting them. In this video, we talk about the new metal oxide and dry resists developed for the EUV era and beyond. I covered photoresists in a prior video, but let me summarize. Photoresist is critical to the photolithography process, where we apply a design to a wafer using high-powered UV light exposure. During lithography, a layer of liquid resist is applied onto the wafer using a method called spin coating. After drying that resist layer, the chip design is then projected onto the wafer in the UV exposure tool. After that, we do a post-exposure bake and then develop the latent image so to remove the exposed parts if we're using a positive photoresist. During the etch, we employ either acid or plasma-based methods to permanently engrave the design image. After the etch is complete, we strip off the remaining resist and go about our day. These photoresists are extremely delicate formulations, often custom-mixed for the customer's desire. And they have to be pure. Mess-ups can be financially devastating. TSMC suffered an issue with impure resist polymer ingredients that killed an estimated 10,000 to 30,000 wafers and cost the company $500 million. As of this writing, the most widely adopted resists in industry are CARs. These are special chemical compounds with several components. When UV light hits the resist layer, it activates one of the CAR's components called a photoacid generator, or PAC. The name says it all. The photoacid generator generates some acid. This acid goes on to catalyze another reaction in the CAR. It removes a chemical component known as a dissolution inhibitor that previously blocked the CAR's ability to dissolve in the developer liquid. Critically, this reaction does not consume that little bit of acid, leaving it free to catalyze more reactions around where the photon first hit. A single photoacid generator molecule can catalyze hundreds of reactions. CARs were pioneered in the early 1980s by people at IBM as a complement to KrF 248-nanometer lithography, and after some 30 years, fabs are very familiar with it. Their processes, fab layouts, and equipment are geared to handling CARs. Today, the CAR industry is dominated by Japanese companies like Tokyo Oka, JSR, and Shin-Etsu. The first two being the largest suppliers, with each having about 30% market share. Famously, the performance of CARs is often evaluated along three axes: resolution, line edge slash width roughness, and sensitivity. What are they? Resolution has two subterms, pitch and feature resolution. Pitch resolution is the smallest pitch that the tool can print, the distance between two neighboring features. It determines how tightly we can pack transistors together and depends on the famous Rayleigh criteria, wavelength and numerical aperture, or NA, so on. Feature resolution refers to the smallest feature size, the finest details, that the tool can print. It determines transistor performance and depends on both tool and resist, as well as technique. Line edge roughness measures the displacement of an individual edge from the ideal. Line width roughness looks at the total quote-unquote shakiness of distance from one edge to the other. In other words, these metrics measure whether the resist can keep smooth lines and edges and avoid irregular waviness. This has been more of a concern as devices have shrunk below the 100 nanometer mark. And finally, sensitivity. This measures the dose needed to change the resist's behavior. In other words, how responsive is the resist to the lithography exposure tool's light? Low sensitivity means either increasing the exposure dose or making the resist layer thicker. The former is expensive because it usually means keeping the wafer in the exposure tool longer, reducing throughput. The latter runs risk of pattern collapse due to mechanically weaker features. There are other things to care about, like contrast and etch resistance, but these three dimensions are most complex to handle because, with regards to CARs, they are coupled. Improving one worsens either one or the other two. They call it the RLS trade-off. For example, if you want to improve a CAR's sensitivity to DUV or EUV light, then intuitively you might want to add more photoacid generators so to make more acid catalyst. But there is a trade-off. The acid catalyst's spread cannot be controlled, it is stochastic, and so it can spread beyond where you want it to go. This leaves you with unwanted rough edges hurting the L in RLS. The diffusion also blots the printed image, like as if you had written something with too much ink. This creates a blur that hurts resolution, the R in RLS. No surprise, there is an equation for this RLS trade-off. The product of resolution cubed, as measured by blur, line edge roughness squared, and dose to size is constant. Lower is better for all three metrics, but try to shrink one and the others rise in response. CARs are great for DUV lithography, but EUV introduced a problem. Resists absorb DUV and EUV photons fundamentally differently. Resist materials absorb DUV light at a molecular level, allowing makers to tune a resist by adding or subtracting specific molecule groups. EUV photons, however, interact with the resist at an atomic level, making absorption a function of elemental composition. But traditional CARs are made from oxygen, carbon, and hydrogen. Those elements' low Z numbers, as in the number of protons or neutrons in their nucleus, made them not that great at quote-unquote stopping an EUV photon. When the first generation of EUV entered high volume in 2017-18 at the 7-nanometer process node, fabs used existing 193-nanometer CARs, just lightly modified. This was because the fabs were already very familiar with CARs, and there are more levers to pull to raise sensitivity without throwing out the whole thing. However, raising that sensitivity brought about new issues, of course. With less EUV photons being sent to the wafer surface, since each EUV photon uses more energy to produce, we see worsening issues with random variations in photon distribution called photon shot noise. At about 30 millijoules per square centimeter, each 10 square nanometer plot gets about 2,024 photons. But there is about 2.2% random variation that is a noise. So a CAR that is too sensitive will take these false positives photons at face value, worsening line edge roughness and resolution. So in the end, for 7-nanometer, it seems like chipmakers simply raised the EUV exposure doses and did not much try to increase sensitivity. But subsequent generations of CARs introduced different tweaks to raise EUV sensitivity without trading off too much of the other stuff. Work is being done in acid diffusion, or how the catalyst acid travels from the point of EUV photon impact. JSR discussed several strategies, including adding special things called quenchers that restrain the acid catalyst, as well as swapping in entirely new PAGs. There's work on adding a whole new class of fluorinated PAGs said to be more sensitive to EUV wavelengths. Another approach has been to add metal-based sensitizers to boost existing PAGs. When UV photons hit the resist, they ionize it, releasing free electrons. Sensitizers capture these electrons and turn them into additional acid that accentuates that which is generated already by the PAGs. Yet another one that I must mention is the photosensitized chemically amplified resist, or PSCAR, developed by Tokyo Electron and JSR. It is like regular CAR, but has, among other things, an extra photosensitizer precursor, which I shall succinctly call the PP. The process also adds an extra post-exposure step. When EUV light hits the PSCAR and creates the acid catalyst, the acid burns down your PP, turning it into a photosensitizer. Then after UV exposure, the whole wafer gets flooded with 365-nanometer UV light. This UV light causes the photosensitizer to activate more PAG, creating more acid at the spot of the EUV photon hit. I can go on and on. There is no limit to the things the CAR people are pulling out, like the PP. So right now, it works. These modified EUV CARs have been widely adopted for the current generation of EUV, known as low-NA UV. But there remains concern that CARs will finally hit their limit. especially with the forthcoming insertion of ASML's next-generation EUV lithography machine, which raises the numerical aperture, or NA, high NA EUV. Higher NAs let you project patterns of even higher resolutions, which should translate to even smaller features. That's nice, however, you do not get this benefit for free. Raising the NA not only means making the mirrors bigger and heavier, it also means a thinner depth of focus. The depth of focus is the vertical distance at which the image quality is still acceptable, the range in which the chip design's image remains in focus. So you want that depth of focus to be deep. Depth of focus is inversely proportional to the square of the numerical aperture, so raising the NA causes the depth of focus to quadratically shrink. This is a problem because when we image the wafer, we're imaging through the whole resist layer. A layer that is thicker than the machine's depth of focus risks having features that print well at one depth but are quote-unquote fuzzy, out of focus, in another depth. Ergo, higher NA means a thinner depth of focus, which means a thinner resist layer. And considering there are already weak sensitivities to EUV light, such a thin CAR layer raises concerns. Can the layer properly resolve the image? Can it sufficiently resist the etch? Of course, there are always possible mitigations. The fab might deposit a thin nitride or metal hard mask over the silicon substrate but under the resist layer. You do a pre-etch into the hard mask, strip off the photoresist, and then do the real etch into the silicon with the hard mask. I tell you, the semiconductor industry is endlessly innovative. But there is another, more serious concern with high NA EUV's impending insertion into the semiconductor chain. With low NA EUV, CARs retain a lot of their advantages because the machine did not often print at its resolution limits, which is probably around 28 nanometers pitch. But that changes with high NA EUV, which is expected to go below the 20 nanometers pitch regularly. At those dimensions, we start seeing serious molecular and mechanical concerns with CARs that can affect resolution and line edge slash width roughness. Molecularly, CARs are just big. They're polymer-based, chains of resist molecules repeating over and over. This makes them quite chunk, about 3 to 5 nanometers in size, and that leaves behind some rough edges, especially when we are patterning at under 20 nanometers. Mechanical concerns involve something called pattern collapse. This means exactly what the name says. Right after exiting the exposure tool, the pattern resist layer is delicate. It still needs to be baked and developed before going to etch, and that often involves rinsing the wafer with liquid developer. After development, we do a cleansing rinse and then dry, but often water or other liquids remain between the pattern lines. Liquid surface tension and other mechanical stresses create capillary forces that can deform the delicate pattern lines and even make them fall over. There are ways to try and deal with this, adding surfactants to the rinsing liquids or using supercritical carbon dioxide for drying. They can work, but themselves introduce risk of swelling or shrinking the features. Another concern is substrate delamination, where the whole resist layer peels off the wafer. This is mostly because of poor adhesion to the wafer surface, but can also be caused by mechanical stress due to these liquid surface tension forces. It is hard to say that any of these concerns are game-breaking, but they have certainly opened the door for several new resist platforms, the most intriguing of which are the metal oxide resists. Unlike CARs, these resists directly change when hit by an EUV photon. There are no complicated compounds, nor are there any chemical amplification effects. At their core, these are metal oxides, zinc or tin oxide, attached to an organic molecule. With a higher Z number, these metals are 4 to 5 times more sensitive to EUV photons than the CAR's organics. These are also far simpler chemicals. Unlike CARs, they are molecular rather than polymeric. Being smaller implies improvements on resolution and line roughness, as we talked about earlier. Moreover, them not relying on the unpredictable diffusion behaviors of an acid catalyst implies better metrics in terms of blur and line edge slash width roughness. After development, it is also claimed that the metal oxide resist shell is robust enough that the fab can skip depositing that aforementioned hard mask before the etch step. so that's nice. The idea of metal-based resist for EUV has been around. Who actually owns credit for realizing said idea and the patents associated with that appears to be the subject of some lawsuits right now, more on that later. There are two notable parties. One is a professor at the University at Albany, State University of New York, Dr. Robert Brainerd. A longtime photoresist authority, he did pioneering work on metal-based EUV resists as part of a program called Molecular Organometallic Resist for EUV or more. And then there is the Impria Corporation. This company spun out of Oregon State University's Department of Chemistry in 2007, based on work done by Professor Doug Kessler. They have been promoting adoption of their tin metal oxide resists for almost a decade now. As they proved out their approach, Impria was supported with money from giants in the semiconductor industry. The associated names are impressive. In 2014, they raised a $7.3 million Series A, led by Samsung Ventures with the venture arms of Intel and Applied Materials participating. 3 years later, 2017, they closed a $23 million Series B, again led by Samsung Ventures. Current investors Intel and Applied participated. The Japanese photoresist giant JSR joined the round two, their first appearance. In 2020, Impria raised $31 million in a Series C round, this time with JSR the lead investor. Existing investors Samsung, Applied, and Intel participated, with new additions SK Hynix and TSMC. It's like the chip Avengers in here. A year later, after buying 21% of the company in the previous rounds, JSR agreed to acquire the rest of Impria for over $500 million. Impria is today a wholly owned subsidiary with research and manufacturing done in the city of Corvallis, Oregon. I recently attended a presentation by Lam Research at SemiCon Korea where they discussed a new dry EUV photoresist they called Aether. Like Impria's offering, Aether is a metal oxide resist. They really buy into the idea that this is going to be a new game-breaking category that will revolutionize the industry. Aether's major differentiator from what Impria offers is that it is dry. It is not a liquid. Thusly, it cannot be applied onto the wafer using the spin coating method like with CARs and Impria's metal oxide resist. Rather, Lam Research employs something like atomic layer deposition, or ALD. I covered ALD in another video. In it, chemical precursors are combined in alternating pulse and purge action steps to slowly deposit a chemical layer onto a substrate. But what Lam is really pushing with regards to Aether is on the other side, dry development. It works kind of like dry etch, where a plasma or non-plasma chemical is used to remove unexposed resist regions after exposure. By removing the liquid from the development process, you eliminate what is often fingered as the single largest risk factor behind pattern collapse for these extremely small features. This in turn can reduce defects and save cost for memory and logic fabs. That being said, dry development is not a panacea. It has its own issues. For example, the dry development gas must strongly differentiate between EUV-exposed and unexposed regions. This is known as having high selectivity. If selectivity is too low, then that forces higher EUV doses, as well as something called corner rounding, where sharp corners get eaten away from the gas to form unwanted rounder shapes. Lam Research did not much mention such downsides, though there was a slide discussing the use of an ion beam post-exposure treatment meant to smooth out the resist pattern and reduce UV dose. It kind of reminds me of the PP and the UV floodlight post-treatment, and I think that post-treatment thing is a real trend. One cannot help but notice the similarity between what Impria and Lam are doing. In October 2022, Impria filed a patent infringement lawsuit against Lam Research, claiming that Lam's dry resist products violate three of their patents. To resolve this, Impria demanded a trial by combat and chose the Mountain to represent them. Just kidding, they're asking for a jury trial. Boring. But then in January 2024, the battle was complicated by another lawsuit filed by the State University of New York, SUNY, against Impria and JSR. SUNY claimed that their aforementioned professor, Dr. Robert Brainerd, originally invented the metal oxide resist concept back in 2011, and that Impria wrongly incorporated and patented that prior work during a 2014 collaboration. Sunni wanted a restraining order to keep Imperia from using or transferring out the contested patents, but the court denied that request. Lam Research then asked the court to put the Imperia lawsuit on pause while the courts determine who actually, truly owns the metal oxide resist concept. Both lawsuits remain outstanding as of this writing. These new resists offer new benefits, and nice benefits, I agree, but it is also clear that if fabs want to get the best out of metal oxide resists, then they would have to do a lot of retooling, particularly with the coater developer systems that apply and develop the resist. Chipmakers have anywhere from 50 to 60 EUV machines in their fabs. There are also concerns about metal contamination. Metals are nasty for fabs because they can create surface anomalies on silicon wafers, degrade the transistor gate oxide's integrity, increasing leakage, or diffuse into the silicon and trap free electrons. Dealing with these concerns remains one of the major issues that IMEC tackled when Imperia started working with them in 2014. IMEC ran some experiments testing for contamination on wafer backsides of coated and uncoated wafers. Despite results showing low to none contamination, concerns remain. Before we end, I want to thank an anonymous Patreon for sending me Lam Research's press releases of this dry resist. The cost of adopting metal oxide resist are substantial, so ultimately, Imperia and Lam Research are hoping that the resist products can save enough money on several fronts to compel the fabs to get off their butts and make those substantial investments. Lam, for their part, is dangling the potential cost savings from reducing defects, cutting EUV exposure costs, and even consolidating several multi-patterning passes into one, as well as the challenges of the major forthcoming change of high-NA EUV insertion. But the CAR industry has been around for nearly 40 years, and they are not shuffling off the EUV stage with a whimper. They're doing some intense work to carve out a new future for CARs, even in the high-NA EUV era. I look forward to see which ends up winning. All right, everyone, that's it for tonight. Thanks for watching. Subscribe to the channel, sign up for the Patreon, and I'll see you guys next time.